But now investigators have yet to get to the bottom of care delays and falsified records at Veterans Affairs. Yet at least four reform bills are percolating in Congress already. Joining us with some ideas for how Congress and the department might proceed for the long term, Anthony Principi. He's a former Veterans Affairs Secretary, now a consultant with a long career in the public and private sectors. Mr. Principi, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with the departed Secretary Shinseki. I think probably it's fair to say no one really blames him for what happens. He left with great praise. But looking back, what do you think he might have done differently to perhaps affect the outcome?
Well, of course, this is a tragic situation for the VA. It's a great agency of government. It's come a long way in the past 25 years, so I think we're all deeply troubled and saddened by what's happened. But I just really believe in the VA, and I think they provide high-quality health care to millions of deserving Americans, and I'm hopeful that we will get through this crisis and continue to build an even better department. What could he have done differently? It's hard for me to say, being on the outside, but certainly getting on top of this situation a lot earlier, I think, could have helped to resolve it sooner. I think the fact that there was a delay, there were not changes made in the leadership of the Veterans Health Administration, more focus on this issue, waiting times, and how best to deal with it, perhaps could have changed the outcome somewhat.
And when you're at the secretary's level, there are so many reports and so much input. I mean, there were 19 reports over the last however many years, not 10 years or so, on this particular issue. How does any secretary know what they've really got to deal with and what they simply can't?
Well, you have to surround yourself with good people to start with. And again, I'm not criticizing Secretary Shinseki. I learned a lot when I was with the first President Bush, Bush 41, at the VA, and made mistakes and had the opportunity to come back and do things differently. And the first thing I did was name a careerist as my chief of staff, probably unheard of amongst my fellow cabinet secretaries. Most chiefs of staffs are political, but I decided to have a chief of staff, a woman who spent 25 years at the VA in many different capacities, and I wanted to have people around me who were going to tell me what I needed to know, and put together a dashboard so I knew on any given day what was going on in the system. Again, things get by you, of course. That's why you have to have good leadership who are going to feel open and transparent and tell you the things you need to know, and so you can act upon them, because problems arise in every agency of government. It's how you respond to those problems, I think, that makes a big difference.
All right, so let's talk short-term for a moment. Now, there's Acting Secretary Sloan Gibson. What should he do immediately, do you think, to make sure that whatever steps are taken are cool-headed and don't cause more harm than good?
Absolutely. That's what I'm fearful of, is that Congress is going to overreact, as often happens, and bills are going to get passed that are not going to help but are going to detract and take the focus away from VA. First, I would suggest that he understand that the dollars are being used for patient care and for access, and there are a lot of dollars flowing through the VA, and he needs to get a handle on where those dollars are going and redirect them to patient care. Secondly, I would call in a brain trust. You know, there were about 10 people in the VA, well, a lot more, but 10 people I relied upon, whom visit network directors, medical center directors, physicians from around the country, and again, they formed my brain trust. And before I would make an important decision, I would ask their advice. So I would suggest he bring in a few senior executives and sit down around a table and say, what is the problem? How do we fix this problem? How do we move forward? Tell me what I need to know. And these are the people who are in the trenches, closest to the patient, closest to patient care. Those are you need to hear from those people, not from a bunch of political appointees who may not know, who are not in the field, who are sitting in central office in Washington, D.C. Get the folks who are out there delivering patient care helping to reduce the backlog of disability claims, and find out from them what are the solutions. I assure you, they are loyal, they are dedicated people, and you can depend upon them.
And let's talk about the employees who are not involved in all of this. What can he do to make sure that they understand that nobody's blaming them and that it's still a decent place to work?
You bet. That's such an important question, an important issue. You know, I would be on the video conference almost daily reassuring the hundreds of thousands of VA employees that they're doing a great job, that they're dedicated. Keep at it. Keep demonstrating that the VA is a great place to work, with a very important and noble mission to care for those who have borne the battle, and restore the confidence in them and those who come to the VA for care and the caregivers. That's very, very important. I mean, cutting out their bonuses is not the right approach. I mean, people go above and beyond the call of duty to do a good job, and to say, well, you're not going to be eligible for a bonus, or we're going to take your civil service protections away, that's not a response to this crisis. What the response to this crisis is: courageous leadership, compassionate leadership that's going to be out there ensuring that things are done right, and when things are done wrong, you hold them accountable. You know, I learned that lesson as a young naval officer aboard a ship. If the ship is grounded or in any way the crew is hurt, the captain walks the plank. And so there, with responsibility comes accountability. But you don't take their bonuses away. We don't want to lose good people. We want to keep them at the VA. And bonuses serve as an important incentive, a reward for doing a good job. Take the bonuses back from people who fail and misuse the trust and compromise their integrity.
We're speaking with Anthony Principi. He's a principal in his own consultancy and former Secretary of Veterans Affairs. So let's look long term. What do you think the VA, what needs to change for the long term so that these kinds of things, one, don't happen again, but also that to make sure that when 10 reports come out on the same issue, somebody acts on them before the 11th?
Well, it starts with leadership again. And, you know, this is a very, very important decision that the president has to make in bringing on a leader who is going to address some of these short-term and long-term problems and put in place mechanisms to deal with them. So it is a very, very important nomination, and I hope he makes one soon and he finds someone of that stature. You don't need a 4-star general or admiral to lead the VA. You need someone with a lot of good experience, executive experience, hopefully someone who understands the VA and, you know, believes in the VA, is passionate about veterans, those who serve. That's a very, very important first step. And then, you know, if you want to be a caretaker, then I would say don't take the job. If you want to address some of the long-term problems, and, you know, America's a far different place when a lot of these benefits were established in the mid-1940s and 50s after World War II. It's time to modernize them and bring them into the 21st century. Chart a course for the 21st century, not the century gone by. Look at the disability compensation program. Is it working? Look at the health care program. You know, look at the fact that we have a VA and a separate DOD health care program. Is it time to look at how we can bring these two closer together, if not an outright consolidation? Spending $105 billion a year on two healthcare systems with a declining veteran population, a declining military population, it's unsustainable. It's unsupportable. You know, when I was secretary, when I started as secretary, my budget was $49 billion. It's $154 billion today. It's more than three times it was when I was secretary, and it hasn't been that long. And by 2028, the veteran population is going to shrink almost in half. So you have to start making the changes now. You have to look long term if you want this agency to survive. And I think it should survive. I think shutting it down is not the right answer. Vouchering out care is not the right answer. What's the right answer is good leadership that's going to focus on the problems and make sure we're running a high quality, efficient, effective health care and benefits delivery system. That's the future of the VA, but it's going to take strong leadership, someone who has a lot of guts and a lot of courage to say, and bring in people. That doesn't mean you don't coordinate and communicate with people, the organizations, the Hill, the AMA. You've got to make sure that they're involved in that process. But by gosh, get on it now. Don't wait 2 years or 4 years because it's going to be too late.
Do you think the future, the long-term future, regardless of whether there are vouchers or private systems, does it necessarily include 153 major medical centers?
No, I don't think so. Absolutely not. Healthcare has changed dramatically. One of my favorite stories is I was in New York City, stuck in traffic, looking up at the VA bed tower on 23rd and 1st Avenue. It was UN week and couldn't move, and I had to give a speech. And there were about 10 lights on in the bed tower. It was, must have been 10, 15 stories high, hundreds of windows, and only 10 lights on. And I couldn't get it off, out of my mind. Why only so few lights? I asked my chief of staff the next day in Washington. And I said, tell me about Brooklyn. Tell me about the Bronx. Three medical centers in New York City, about 20 miles apart. That night I was in New York, there were 283 patients in all three hospitals, and they were all built to about 800 beds back in 1950. So about 2,500 beds in three hospitals, we had 283 patients. The future of healthcare is ambulatory, it's outpatient. We need state-of-the-art centers of excellence in inpatient care. But we got to be a patient-focused healthcare system, not a hospital-centric healthcare system. I chaired the BRAC in 2005. I know how difficult it is to close military bases, but BRAC works, and we need a BRAC-type system for the VA to ensure that we have facilities where we need them, and those that we don't need, we should close down and use those dollars to expand health care closer to veterans' homes.
Anthony Principi was Secretary of Veterans Affairs during the first term of President George W. Bush. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.